I love being able to sit back and watch him move in people's lives, watch him move and do different things, and we're so thankful for that. As was mentioned, we do need to be in prayer. Michael, part of our praise team, are in Columbus at the car show, holding service up there this morning. We pray that many lives are touched there. With Randy being gone, I was joking with him a few weeks ago and told him, with them both being gone, I was going to start a new series this week called Left Behind, since we're the only ones here. And I had told him, also told him, with Upper Room Faith, we do a sermon called Upper Room Faith Stands Alone. And that actually stuck. And so our title this morning is going to be Upper Room Faith Stands Alone. Couldn't get away from that thought, couldn't get away from that mindset. And as I was sitting and thinking about that, I was thinking about people in the Bible that stood alone and, how they would stand alone and what they had to do, what they had to go through. And Noah was one of those guys that came to mind. And when we look back on that story and we look back at what all Noah went through and the things that he did, Noah truly, he stood alone in a time when nobody else was in agreement with him. He stood alone in a time when nobody else everybody thought he was crazy. Everybody thought that, he's out here, building this big old cruise liner in the middle of nowhere, never seen water, haven't seen flood or anything, and yet he's telling us that all this stuff's going to happen, it's going to be flooded, and he needs this big old boat. And for years and years and years, for about 120 years, this went on that, Noah's standing out here and working on this ark as God had commanded him to do. And he's standing out there doing all this. And when everybody else in the world was against him, when everybody else in the world was being disobedient, and we'll see later on that, they were corrupt in God's eyes, Noah stood and he worked. And he stayed diligent to what he was called to do. He stayed with what he was doing. God was grieved by the things that he saw in the world and what was taking place in the world. And yet we look at Noah, he wasn't a bit influenced by the world. He wasn't influenced by what was going on around him and those that were the naysayers of him building this ark. Now he didn't let them influence him, but he listened to God through everything. He paid attention to what the Lord had told him and what God was commanding him to do. Noah made sure that he was following God and doing what God had called him to do. Even in the midst of this society that was absolutely terrible, it was the most disobedient society. Even in the midst of all that, Noah was willing to stand and do what God had asked of him. He never wavered in his faith. He never wavered in what he was doing. He stuck right with it. And, because of that, we see that he was able to stand alone, that God was able to bless him through that, because he made sure that he kept his focus where it needed to be, and he continued working on what God had called him to do. If you have your Bibles, if you want to look up on the screen here in Genesis chapter 6, we're going to look at verse 9. It says, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. When we take a look and we wonder about, why it is, why is it so important that we stand alone? Why is it so important that, as Christians, that upper room faith, that it stands alone, that it stands on its own, that it doesn't follow the world? What makes that so important, and why do we need to do that? We can look and we can start from the youngest to go all the way up. We look at people in school. We look at people, our young kids that are going through school and growing up in this world. It's so easy to get caught up in what's going on around them. And it doesn't have to be something big. We automatically think, you don't want to get caught up in drugs and alcohol and all that stuff. But what about smaller stuff? What about when we're sitting in school and your friends have the answers to that test? Or they had the test, the class before that, so they already know what's coming up and they've got all the answers for that. What do? It's real easy to go ahead and take that because now the stress level goes from here to here all of a sudden. Well, I know the answers, it's going to be all right. I may pass this and it might help my grade a little bit. We think of these big things. The fact of the matter is, when it comes down to serving God, when it comes down to following Him, it gets down to a much smaller level and a much simpler level. Something as simple as that, as cheating on a test, or when you're out with your friends and just, honoriness. Call it honoriness, call it whatever you want to, but doing things you don't need to be doing. Adults, what about at work? What about, if you don't necessarily lie, but you don't exactly tell the truth, you know you can push that deal through and make a little bit of profit. You know that you can, you know, it may not absolutely shatter somebody's world, but it's not the most honest way to go about it. It's not the best way to go about doing things, but it's going to help you achieve that next raise or help you get that next promotion. And if you just keep going, nobody's going to know about it. Nobody's going to understand. They won't hear about it, and man, you're not going to get caught. And what does that say, though, about our walk with Christ? See, the Bible tells us there in Genesis 6:9 that Noah walked with God. Noah stood out. Noah was different. Noah was able to stand alone, not because that he was such a great man, not because that, you know, he didn't cheat on his test, not because that he didn't make mistakes, not because he never did anything wrong. Noah stood out because Noah walked with God. And when you begin to walk with God, when you're following God and you have that close relationship with Him, all of a sudden these other things in life, these small things in life, they start making a difference. Those things you start to look at differently. And so, you know, doing that business deal a little bit different doesn't seem right anymore. Doing those things just a little bit different, listening to those shows or watching those shows, listening to those jokes, doing those things that everybody says, well, it's okay, it's not that bad. How often do we just go along with the crowd so we don't stand out? We go along with what the world is doing or what our friends are doing so that we don't stand out and so that, you know, so that nobody's looking at us and thinks, well, you know, there's something wrong with them. We don't want to stand out. We don't want to look different, and we don't want to seem different to anybody. In John chapter 6, the disciples were talking with Jesus, and Jesus had been talking and kind of more or less explaining to them about how they're to take the bread and how they're to eat it, and it's His body, and how they're to remember Him and what they're to do. And a lot of the people had walked away. They had left because they didn't like the teaching. They said, you know, this is a hard teaching. And so they walked away, and all these followers, they began to leave Jesus. And Jesus looked at the 12, and it said that, and He asked him, said, will you go away too? And Peter looked at him and says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Who are we going to tell you? You have the words of eternal life. Peter realized at that point that, you know what, even though the crowd, even though everybody else was walking away, they didn't like what they heard, they didn't like what was going on, and so they began to walk away. And Peter realized that, you know, we have nowhere to go. We have nowhere to go. There's nothing to do because, you know, Jesus, you're the only one. You have the words to eternal life. To whom shall we turn? Who are we going to go to? For you have the words of eternal life. It's easy for us to want to blend into the crowd and to want to, you know, so we don't stand out and look different. But if you remember a couple weeks ago in Randy's sermon, he reminded us that nothing about what we do as Christians is common. Nothing that we do, nothing that we say, not the way that we live, not the way that we worship. There's nothing about us that is common. There's nothing about us that's going to be normal. It's not going to blend in with the crowd. It's not going to look like everything around you. And we can't worry about, am I going to stick out? We can't worry about, am I going to stand out? Is somebody going to look at me funny? Is somebody going to say something about me if I talk about Jesus? Is somebody going to say something about me if I spend all my time sitting out in the middle of nowhere? We ain't even close to the lake. I'm building this big old boat telling everybody it's going to rain. It's not common. It's not what the world does. It doesn't look like everybody else. And Noah stood out there and he continued to work. He was given the instructions by God. He was told what to do. And he continued to work on that ark. No matter what people said, I can imagine them coming by and making fun of him. I can imagine them laughing at him. And yet there he stayed working. They're asking you, how in the world do you know it's going to rain? How do you know what's going on? Noah had absolutely nothing to go on except for the Word of God. He had absolutely nothing to go on except for God's Word. God told him, no, you know, I'm going to flood the earth. Everybody's going to die. Build a boat. And so he did. That's upper room faith. Again, we talked about last week how the blind man, you know, he couldn't see Jesus, but he still done what he told him. Noah couldn't see that flood coming. It wasn't like he could pull up the radar or go check with the weatherman, see if the rains are on their way. He wasn't able to check the forecast and find out what was going to go on. All he knew was that God said, it's going to flood and you've got to get ready. And so he kept working on that. He continued to work on it. You know, we live in a day when you know, things around us are so evil and so corrupt, and we see everything that's going on around us, and it makes it that much more important we have to stand alone. It makes it that much more important that we continue to walk with God, just as Noah did in this time. In verses 11 and 12 of Genesis 6, it says, "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence." Sound familiar? We're there, guys. "So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth." God saw what was going on, you know. It was corrupt in the sight of God. And so, you know, he saw what was taking place. It didn't look good to him. They probably didn't worry about it so much. They probably didn't care so much about what was going on. You know, don't we kind of do that? Don't we kind of live that? In our view, things aren't that bad. We just, you know, mark it off as, well, it's not that bad. It's not, you know, it's progress. We're moving forward and it's progress and things are getting better. And so, you know, it's really not that bad. It doesn't matter, you know, that people are doing this and people are doing that, because it's progress. And we don't think like we used to think. Now listen, we do things a little bit different now, sure. We don't, you know, we have a nice facility that we can gather in to worship. 100 years ago, they didn't have a facility like this. Some things are progress and some things are okay. But these people were making progress. They were making compromises on the Word of God. They were making compromises on what God had called them to do, what God had asked them to do. And so it wasn't okay. What they were doing was they were looking at themselves, and their selves became the standard. Because as long as I don't feel bad about it, everything's okay. As long as I don't think it's wrong, then it's all right. So all of a sudden, self became the standard and not God, not God's Word. How many times do we see that taking place? That we look out and we see people say, well, you know what? I don't think it's that bad. That's my opinion. You know, I think it's okay. You have your opinion, but my opinion is it's not bad. I don't care what my opinion is. I don't care what your opinion is. The only opinion that should matter is God's opinion. If He says it's bad, if He says it's sin, then it's still sin. If He calls it wrong, it is still wrong. It doesn't matter who, whatever anybody else thinks about it. It's still wrong. And these people, you know, in their eyes, everything was okay. In our eyes and in today's society, as long as it doesn't, which I don't see how everything upsets everybody anymore, but as long as it doesn't hurt my feelings, it must be okay. And as long as it doesn't upset me, then I don't care and I'm okay with that. And so we set our own standards and we set our own, you know, level of measurement for it and judging it. The Bible tells us in Matthew 24 that just as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days prior to His return. Tells us that it's going to be just the way it was in Noah's day. It's going to be that way in the days prior to Christ's coming. And when we look at the Bible and we begin to read, and am I saying He's coming back this afternoon? Maybe. Is He coming back 10 years from now? Maybe. Well, we don't know exactly when, but what we do know is He's coming back, and it's our job to be prepared. It's our job to be ready. And that's exactly what Noah was looking at. You know what? Noah didn't know exactly when the rain was going to start. God told him, you know, man's got 120 years. He didn't know exactly the day it was going to happen. But he knew the time was coming and he better get to working. He was going to stand alone no matter what everybody else did. There wasn't anybody else in the boat business at this time. Wasn't anybody else building an ark. Wasn't anybody else preparing to make it away. But yet Noah was working and making a way so that when the time came, he was going to be ready. He knew that him and his family were going to be saved because of God's word to him, because of God's promise to him that they were going to be all right. And so he continued to work and he continued to put this ark together and to build this so that he wasn't going to have to worry about things while everybody else is out living without regard to God. Again, that's why that, you know, Noah walked with God. That's why it's so important. Everybody else was living without regards to God. They weren't worried about God's command and what God had asked them to do. And it wasn't so much the fact that God was controlling their life and had His finger on them and saying, you know what, I'm going to control every little move. They just flat out didn't care what God said. They just flat out did not care how they were to live their life and what was going to be pleasing to Him. They didn't have no regard for Him. They didn't care at all. There was no respect, no honor there whatsoever. And we look around today, and it's happening all around us. We're not immune to it. Christians, we can let ourselves get in that way too. we can allow ourselves to get in such a way to where, you know, it doesn't really matter to us anymore. We get complacent with things. We get complacent with our lives. And, you know, when we first get saved and we're so excited and we're so on fire for God, and you're reading your Bible all the time and you're going to church all the time, you're doing all these things, and after a while, life starts happening. Things start taking place, and all of a sudden, well, you know, I didn't quite have time to read my Bible this morning, but that's all right. I'll catch up on it tomorrow. Tomorrow rolls around, and you was busy working late last night or whatever else happened, and, well, I can catch up on 2 days. That ain't too bad. We can do that. Before you know it, you're trying to catch up on the past 5 years. Before you know it, you're trying to catch up on the past 10 years. Before you know it, you don't remember the last time you went to church. You don't remember the last time you spent time in prayer with God. You don't remember the last time that you took the time to sit down and read the Word and to just sit and listen to God and let Him speak to your life. And so we get ourselves in these situations to where, you know, we become complacent with everything. They didn't have regards to God or what was going on with Him. And we think so many times, you know, because we set our own standards, well, I'm a pretty good person. Again, I don't think I've done anything wrong. I don't think I'm doing anything that bad. I don't know what that bad is, but we always think, well, it's not that bad. And so we set our own standards. But you know what? Do you realize how many good people died in the flood? Do you realize how many descendants of good people died in the flood? We sit and think, well, you know, I do pretty good. Or, you know, my grandparents were in church all the time, and they were great people, and I know that, you know, they're going to talk to God for me. I've heard people say that. They're going to talk to God for me, and I'll be all right. Let me tell you something. Enoch had his grandchildren, probably descendants, die in this flood. Good people died in this flood. Good people are going to go to hell. Being good doesn't have nothing to do with it. It's that walk with God. It's trusting Christ as your Savior. It's following Him and knowing what He's asked us to do. You know, they never trusted Christ and they just blended in. They wanted to blend in with the world and follow the world and do what everybody else is doing because it felt awkward to stand out. It's going to feel awkward to stand out when you're not in heaven either. When we talk about awkward, you're expecting one thing and you wake up and it's going to be a whole lot different. And yet, we don't have concern for that. And there's not that sense of urgency. There's not that sense of concern of what's going on, what's taking place. Well, you know, you keep talking about that, standing alone and following God and doing all that. Is it possible to do that? Look at today's world and look at the things we're living in and look at what's taking place around us. Is it really possible to stand out and to live alone or stand alone with God and walk with Him like that? You know, you're talking about, being almost perfect. Number one, Noah wasn't perfect. You know, it says Noah was a righteous man, perfect in his generations. He was blameless in his generation. He was a good man, but he wasn't a sinless man. Yeah, it's possible to do that. It's possible to live that life because Noah was able to do it. You know, because he was the object of God's undeserved favor, he lived a righteous life. Because he knew that he was the object of God's favor, he was able to live this righteous life. He was able to live a life that was following God. And when we realize that God cares that much about us, just as much as he did about Noah, God saw fit to save Noah and his family. He had so much concern for Noah and his family. And when we finally realize that God loves you that much, God cares for you that much, you're going to be that much more led to live a righteous life. You're going to be led to be able to follow God and to do what he would have us to do. But we've got to understand that God loves you and He's wanting you to follow Him. He's wanting to walk with you. He's wanting you to trust in Him. You know, Noah, I believe he was able to do that because he knew he was serving a Father that loved him. Noah was willing to stand up and start building this ark and start working on this thing because he knew he was serving a God, that he had a Father that cared about him and that had his best interests at heart. If my kids didn't think I had their best, I can get them to do all kinds of stuff. It's funny sometimes. But you can convince them to do all kinds of stuff. Little kids, especially if they're your own. Sometimes other people's kids, they won't do it. We've had Chase's kids last night and couldn't get Rafe to do a whole lot. But my own kids, I can talk them into anything. Why? Because they trust me. Because I'm dad. And because they don't think that dad's going to do anything to let them get hurt. They don't think that dad's going to do anything to let them, you know, get in trouble, or that's going to cause them some kind of harm. So when dad says, hey, go do this or try this, they're right on it. But when somebody else that's not dad tries to tell them, we hesitate more. Noah understood who it was he was working for. He understood who it was that he was serving. When dad says, go do it, when Heavenly Father says, hey, here's the dimensions, here's the blueprints, here's what you're going to do, he went out and got to work on it. When God begins to speak into your life, when he begins to tell you to do something, when you understand that it's our Heavenly Father that's telling us what to do, that it's God that has that vision for your life and that moving on your life, when we realize that God's the one that's leading us, it's so much easier to be able to step out and do that. It's so much easier, because when we understand that we're the object of God's undeserved favor, it's so much easier to live out that righteous life and a life that's pleasing to him, a life that he would be pleased with. So much easier to follow him when we understand who it is we're following. The Bible tells us that he was righteous and blameless. You know, he still sinned, but you know what? Noah walked with God, his sons. And we see about other people, you know, making fun of him and ridiculing him for this. I believe his sons were right there because they saw something. They saw a life that rang true. They saw a life that was serving God. They saw a man that wasn't wavering from what God had commanded. They saw a man that wasn't wavering from what was going on around him. They followed this man. They watched this man be obedient to God's word down to the very last second before the flood started. They watched his life. They knew. He was an example to those around him. He was an example to people that saw him. You know what? People will watch our lives and they're going to follow your example. People are going to watch your life and they're going to see. They know whether or not you're walking with God. Well, how do they know? Listen, coming to church doesn't mean you're walking with God. Just getting up reading your Bible doesn't mean you're walking with God. Posting, you know, all these Christian, you know, memes or whatever on Facebook and, you can throw up your daily devotion, your daily Bible verse, whatever you want to every day. That doesn't mean you're walking with God. Now, those are good things to do. Don't get me wrong. I ain't telling you not to do that. But that doesn't mean you're, you know, anybody can get on there and post anything. Anybody can come sit down in this church, and we'd love to have everybody come sit down in this church building. But you know what? That doesn't mean that you're walking with God. It's having that relationship. It's trusting Christ as your Savior. It's realizing what he did on that cross. It's realizing that he died for your sin, for my sin. It's understanding that even though we didn't deserve any of it, even though that we've done nothing that we might deserve his righteousness, he's still done that so that we might have eternal life with him. We're called to follow him, to do that. We set that example. We used to have a basketball coach in high school. Brandon may remember it, but he always told us, said, remember, everybody's an example. Said, some people are good examples, some are bad examples. It doesn't matter what you do. You're an example whether you want to be or not. It's your choice as to how you're going to lead that. It's your choice as to how you're going to let people see that. You're going to be an example one way or another. Whether it be good or whether it be bad, you don't have a choice in the matter. You're going to be the example. And so we have to decide, if we're going to follow God, if we're going to walk with him, if the people can see God in us, if they can see us living out a life for him and genuinely living out for him, not just making the post, not just saying the stuff or whatever, you know what, they're going to be more likely to be able to stand alone in this world when there's corruption all around. They're going to be more likely to stand alone in the world instead of trying to blend in, instead of trying to look like everybody else. It's a lot easier to stand alone. People can see just through our attributes. You can tell where people stand. You can tell what they're doing. It's easy to identify people by the things that they're going through and the way they live out their life. You ever look back through old pictures? You don't have to have a date on them. You don't have to have a year, have any idea. But you can look at a picture and see what somebody's wearing and tell about what decade it came from. You can look and get pretty close within 10 years or so of when the picture was taken. And just go back and see, because trends, because people look the same in those. You can take five different families and tell, from the same decade until they all came from that decade, because everybody's dressed similarly. The clothing style looks the same. Hairstyles look the same. You know, the way they set up, the way they pose for pictures, you know, the backgrounds, they look the same. You can tell where people come from by those pictures, by what's around them, what's surrounding them. You can see that. And when we look at our own lives, we can see a picture of ourselves by what's around you, by the way, and it's, you know, I don't think everybody just set out and said, well, you know, let's all get together and dress the same so that people know that, you know, our picture was taken in 1980. They didn't do that. But that's the way the trend was going. And we've got a decision to make. You know, the world, we can look like that trend. We can take a snapshot of your life right now. Is it going to trend and look like the world? Is that picture going to have qualities of what the world has? Or is that picture going to have qualities of what God sees in us? If you were to sit down and God was to take your picture right now, what's he going to see in that photograph? When that thing, you know, I don't guess they're not developed. I guess when you upload it to, when God uploads it to his Facebook page maybe. But when he sees that picture and he looks at that picture, is it going to look like the world? Is it going to resemble the world? Is it going to resemble God? So how do we stand alone? We keep, you know, we talk about staying alone, doing all this stuff. How are we able to do that then? It's simple. Just the way Noah did. By standing with him, by walking with God, no matter what's going on around us. You know, it's so easy to sit and say, well, that sounds simple, but how? Noah had faith, and we already said it, but Noah had faith in God's word. He had nothing else to go on. He had nothing else. It wasn't like it happened before. It wasn't like, oh yeah, and I remember that, you know, 100 years ago, I remember Grandpa talking about that flood that took place. I better get ready because they said it was pretty bad back then. God says this one's going to be even worse. He didn't have that to go on. All he had was God said, Noah, get ready. Noah, there's a flood coming. You've got to be prepared. You've got to build this ark. You've got to get the animals on there, get your family on there, because everybody and everything else is going to be destroyed. There's coming a time, Noah, that you've got to be ready for this. And so, you know, even though he didn't have any past experience with it, he had God's word as a future example. We may not have past experience. We may not understand what's going on, but what we do have is God's word. We have the Bible that we're able to get a hold of, that we're able to sit and look at, you know, and to understand what God tells us is going to take place. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days prior to his return. We're living that out right now. I don't know how many days prior to his return it's going to be like that. But we see the corruption, we see the evil all around us, we see things taking place in the world around us, and yet we need to have that upper room faith that stands alone, that walks with God. And, you know, the blind man, he couldn't see, but yet he trusted God's voice. Noah built his whole life around God's word. He built his whole life around God's word. God told him it's going to flood. And he spent the rest of his life building that ark. It didn't matter what anybody else told him. It didn't matter what everybody else said. It didn't matter what anybody else was doing. God, through his word, told him, said, no, it's going to flood. And there was his focus. Everybody else can laugh. They can mock and joke and say what they want to about it, but I'm building a boat. Listen, I don't know what God's called you to do this morning. I don't know what it is he's asking you to do, whether he's asking you to trust him as your Savior, whether you've never made that decision this morning, whether he's asking you to step out and build an ark, whatever that ark looks like in your life, that's where your focus needs to be. Don't worry about the noise going on around you. Don't worry about what the world says about it, what they may say or what they may think about it. When we hear God, when God's word begins to speak to us and begins to lead us, you know, we invest so much and so many different things. But you know, if you look, and if you knew, let's say we give you $1 million to invest in a company. If you knew that 5 years from now that company is going to go under, you going to put your money there? If you knew that, you know, in just a few years, there's going to be a blow up and that company's going to split and things are going to go bad? Are you going to put everything you've got right there? No. Church, we know that there's coming a day that Christ is going to return and call His people home. Why are we investing so much in the world and not enough in God? Why are we putting everything we have in the world and the things of the world, why are we putting all of our trust in that instead of putting our trust in God, keeping our focus where God says to keep it focused, keeping our eyes pointed towards Him? He told Noah, said, the flood's coming. Noah said, I'm building a boat. He didn't invest in anything else but doing what God told him to do. And when it came time, Noah obeyed him completely. In Genesis 6:22, Noah says, thus Noah did, according to all that God commanded him, so he did. Noah did everything that God commanded him. He was doing everything that God asked of him. And so we see that, you know what, it didn't matter what was taking place, he completely obeyed God in everything. When it was all said and done, he had to make sure that he got all the animals on board. The last thing he had to do was to get him and his family on board. He'd been obedient up to the very end. Let me ask you something. What would have happened had he not stepped on that boat? Flood was coming either way. But he couldn't quit before he was finished. Church, I want to encourage you this morning, don't stop before you're finished. Don't stop too soon. That'd be a whole other message there, but don't stop too soon. Don't quit before you're finished. Noah went through all that trouble. He stayed with it all the way. Maybe you're sitting here this morning, you think, well, you know, I'll be okay. I'll be fine. But if you're sitting here this morning, you're going to church, reading your Bible, praying, you're going through all the motions, but yet you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, that's almost the same as Noah getting down to the very end. When it comes time to get on the boat, he says, you know what, I'm not doing it. Just can't get on. Church, are you on board this morning as we stand? Are we prepared to have a time of invitation? I don't know your hearts this morning. Maybe you've done that. Maybe you've followed God. Maybe you've been in church your whole life. But yet you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. You've never made that profession of faith. Maybe you've never trusted in Him. It's time to step on board. Time to get ready. If God's calling you, if He's speaking to your heart this morning, the Holy Spirit's dealing with you, it's time to step out and come to an altar of prayer and receive Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're here this morning and you've trusted Christ, but you're just not doing what God's asked you to do. Your focus isn't where it needs to be. You've invested too much in the world and not enough in God. You look at it and say, man, I wish I could be like Noah. You can. All Noah did was he walked with God. He didn't have anything fancy about him, nothing special about him. He was a righteous man with God. That could be you this morning. Heads bowed and all eyes closed. We want to pray here in just a second. Before I pray, I want to ask, is there one here this morning? You say, you know what, Chad? That's me. I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. I've never made that profession. I've never asked Him into my life, asked Him to save me from my sins. I realize that He loves me. I realize that He died on that cross for my sins. I've just never done that. Would you pray for me this morning? We won't call you out. We won't embarrass you or do anything like that. Would you say, you want? Just pray for me. I've never made that decision. Would you just lift your hand up real quick and say, you want to pray for me? So wait just a minute. Anyone, anywhere. Maybe you're here this morning and say, you know what? I'm not walking with God like I should be. I've invested too much of my time in other places. I've invested too much time in other things. But I'm ready to step back and start walking with Him like I know He wants me to. Like I know I want to. Would you be willing to slip your hand up this evening or this morning and say, you know what, that's me. That's that hand. That's those hands. That's me. I want to walk with Him like that. I want to have that faith that Noah did. I don't see what's coming down the road in my life, but I know one of these days God's Word tells me He's going to return. When He does, I want to be walking with Him like that. Just pray for me. Heavenly Father, we just come to You this morning, God. Thank You so much for this opportunity that we've had. God, we've seen hands go up all over. We pray, Lord, that You would be with those. Lord, we pray, Lord, that they would step out to come to this altar and pray, and to, Lord, they just might draw closer to You. We pray, God, for those that couldn't raise their hand or didn't want to raise their hand, whatever that situation might be, Heavenly Father, we just pray, Lord, that You would just speak to hearts this morning, that You would move in this place so that, Lord, that we would each and every one draw closer to You, or that we might be found as not working with You, no matter what takes place in our lives. And that, God, no matter when You see fit to call us home, that we would be found ready. We love You, God, and this we pray and ask in Jesus' name.